Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
I think New England certainly is at a position offensively that they have some troubles, and the defense for the Eagles has played much better recently. I think that if they have the ability to throw the ball down the field against the Eagles, they'll have some success.
Can you believe that? You see what he did? It's on. Okay. He's going down right after we finish playing funnel nuts.
This is clearly the second-best team they have faced all year, and one of only three teams they have faced this year that you have any chance of seeing in the postseason.
You blitz all night! If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
It's time to start revving up the conversations about, oh, is this team a fraud? Are they the dynasty over? Brady's done. It's not going to be like it once was.
I'll ask these fellas. Maybe they've seen them. Excuse me, have you seen... Hold on a second. Hey, pal, stop talking while I'm talking, all right? You want a sandwich full of knuckles, do you?
The worst decision was that deep throw to Sanu off his back foot, just that prayer.
I'll never understand.
When Tom does that, I get concerned where his headspace is in that particular game.
I'm the star. Who else is going to do this? Can you do this?
No.
Exactly. That's why you're down here and I'm up there.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, hour two of the Mark and Kitchen show, 103.7 WEEI, Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen. Last night, Ben and I both spent time watching a basketball game being played in Maine on television. Never thought I'd do that or say that, but that's what happened.
We fell right into the trap, NBC Sports Boston. Right into the trap.
I wanted to watch Taco. I wanted to see how he looked. Your thoughts, your takeaways.
He's got a lot of work to do.
Yep.
But it's just funny watching him stumble around. It's really weird watching, especially him in that tiny arena, because he's like taller than where the audience is even sitting.
Yeah.
Like the fans, there's only like five rows to those bleachers and he's already taller than them.
Yeah.
It's very awkward and bizarre watching that game, but he's got a lot of work to do. But I like seeing him get out there and playing a lot of minutes. This is what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, if not last week. I like him actually getting more time on the court as opposed to sitting there watching and maybe playing 3 minutes a week with the Celtics. I like him actually participating in the game. The other big thing I took out of it was I didn't know Hashim Thabeet was still alive, let alone still playing basketball. And then it was interesting to see him because Thabeet's legit 7'3".
Yeah.
And then how much taller Taco even was. But there's certain elements I like about Taco. He knows how to use his length, which is very, very important, especially being at that size. So he can get to some blocks that he needs to and get to some rebounds that he needs to. There's just little elements, footwork that he needs to work on, decision-making that he needs to work on. I like him being up in Maine for now, playing as much as he's playing.
So the Boston Celtics had a game last night out in Golden State. They beat the Warriors. Here's what Brad Stevens had to say after the game, quote, "I didn't think we were good defensively at the rim, but they put a lot of pressure on us down there. Some of our guys, we got to take more charges, and we got to be vertical better." However, maybe that was written poorly. "We got to be better vertical more often than we are. That was the strength of our team through the first five or six games, and we didn't do a good job of that today." So, once again, it comes up that, hey, we need to be better at the rim. We need to be better vertical at the rim. And all I could think about was in that game. Now, I get it, it's the G League, D League, whatever. But every time one of those guys from the Indiana Ant Farm or whatever they were called.
Fort Wayne Mad Ants.
Okay. When they got into the paint.
Yeah.
It was teardrop city, baby. I mean, they didn't want to go near Taco. And the one time they did, he put that guy, he buried him somewhere in Bangor.
He had six blocks last night.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell it was just a mental thing that he was down there. They did not want to go near. So when I hear Brad Stevens after the Warriors game say about they need better rim protection, if I'm Danny, now I know what I liked, we talked about this, Danny Ainge did say, I think after the draft, not long thereafter, that the development of Taco Fall was a priority for the organization. Thank you. That's what we all wanted to hear. But they need to, I hope they have a coach living across the street from him. I hope in the morning they're out at the playground working on footwork or at the gym. I don't care. Do it somewhere. Work on the footwork. Get him ready. Because you need to take advantage of the size as quickly as possible. And I think if there's any way to fast track his development, you need to be doing it. Maybe they are. I hope they are. But you've got to fast track him.
Well, that's what I think is happening. He needs minutes. This isn't a kid that's been playing basketball since he was 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been playing that long. So I think he needs as many times where he can actually play in a game where a win or loss is actually important to that circumstance. And it is to those guys up in Maine. They want to win those games because it obviously makes them look better if they win and potentially get called up to the real NBA. So I think they are looking very seriously at his development. Romeo Langford played, what, 5 friggin' minutes last night?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I just looked up and he was gone. I don't know if he got hurt or something like that. But I would have liked to have seen him obviously play a lot more. Maybe he did get hurt. That would explain the very truncated time he was on. But, Taco Fall, coming off the bench, playing more than starters, I really like that. I like him just being out there and getting time with other players as opposed to sitting on the bench and watching. Because to me, that does not fast-track his development. Him playing in the G League actually does fast-track his development. So I think that's important. I know it's frustrating for you, but now they're on TV, Mark.
Yeah.
Now you can watch. You can watch your baby, your 7'6" Senegalese baby.
He's just it's so fun to watch that much length move around.
It's awkward. You don't know how it's going to happen.
Yeah,
you don't know how someone actually
does it. Like, he was my child. I was nervous while watching that.
Because he looks like he's fragile, and he's not. He's a big boy, but...
But, I mean, it's just so easy for him to dunk. I feel like anytime you want to get him a high percentage shot, you can. I'd be working on his free throws. I want to see this guy develop. I want them working with him day and night.
That's what they are. They can actually spend time and focus in on developing him instead of ensuring that they have a winning basketball team where they... Things like development of a guy like this who's so raw will fall by the wayside because you cannot spend that time and focus.
While you're busy trying to win.
That's why the G League was the old developmental league, because you could actually spend that time and do that for those guys.
Can he be a contributor on this team, the NBA team, this season at some point? Would he be on the playoff roster?
No, he won't be on the playoff roster.
Then that's
a waste. No, but it's simply because I think they'll make a move before the deadline for a big that can help him this year.
Okay.
Because I think they're in a situation now where they look and feel like an actual contender coming out of the East, as opposed to before where, like, okay, you know, you have Philly ahead of you. You have Milwaukee ahead of you. Maybe, you know, maybe Toronto's still pretty good regular season-wise, and they're ahead of you. But no, now you're actually developing into a really good team.
What do you mean you have Philly ahead of you? What does that mean?
Before the season, we thought had a better chance of representing the East. Milwaukee certainly had a better chance of representing the East. Celtics were, at best, third in the Eastern Conference for most people. Now you've played yourself into a situation where you look like you're legit and a legit contender to come out of the East. So when it comes time for the trade deadline, sometime before the trade deadline, you're looking at it going, I could potentially acquire a big that can really help me win a championship versus bring this guy along and try and, you know, continue his development at the end of the season when we really need to win games to establish our position in the playoffs.
All right, let's take this call from Mike in North Providence real quick. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, so the bigger thing is the fact that the team's 10-1 or the style changes. I mean, Taco, he's kind of like, I really like Taco. I was the one telling you that I thought he was good, like, very early on. But he's like at best, a 12-minute a game guy.
I wouldn't even give him 12 minutes right now, but I know what you're saying.
In the NBA, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what he's like? He's like kind of like a stud finder where he's in your toolbox, and if you need him, he comes in really handy. Like Joel Embiid, if Taco gets fully up to speed, will hate playing Taco. But against certain other teams, Taco would be nearly useless because it'd be a fast up-and-down game. It wouldn't be suitable for him. But it's just, it's one of these things with this team. They found a nice gear playing fast. I mean, they have the number one offensive rating. Even though they had some problems defensively, they're still top 10. They can continue doing this. And a lot of it's just, you know, it wasn't just Kyrie. They had too many people shooting the ball last year. And now it's like they got rid of people like Marcus Morris or Terry Rozier. And now really it's four really good offensive players who are taking most of the shots. Now Hayward's hurt, so now it's three. When Smart has it going, he's shooting more, and maybe some Carson Edwards. But, you know, you're not sharing the ball around to share it around, and they're playing at a pace that suits the athleticism of the team because they're more athletic than the vast majority of the team, and it shows.
Yeah, you know, one of the big things is that, you know, you don't have a guy who's going to hold the ball so long where Kyrie would hold the ball to try and find the right position where ball movement is far more important than that one singular guy in Kyrie, and they're back to being a ball movement team that allows causes problems for opposing defenses because you have all those guys that can score. And not just that they can score from different places on the court. You know, they're pretty good to very good three-point shooters, and then you have a couple of them who can drive incredibly well. Kemba, good, very good at driving. Tatum, getting better, back to where he needed to be. Jaylen Brown can be incredibly explosive driving. So you have multidimensional wing players that can score from different positions on the court, and all of them can score from different positions on the court. So there's no place of stagnation on the offense, which is really good, and I think it's going to propel this team pretty damn far. There's still some issues that need to be addressed defensively, and we talked about some of that, that low post presence. You know, Grant Williams, we like what he's bringing. Has given to you so far, still undersized at that position. There's bigger, stronger guys out there that can just ward him off and then get an easy attempt right at the rim. Brown's done a decent job defending big. Tatum's a better defender. Tatum is a better defender than a lot of people give credit for. And Marcus Smart will always defend big. He'll defend anybody.
Yeah.
And he's really good at that. So there's just that one little element that I want to see from them to where I'll be like, okay, that's a really complete team and a legit team that could potentially win a championship this year.
They're absolutely a contender to come out of the East.
100%.
I don't want to even hear about that. They're
the best team in the East right now.
Short list. They are on that short list. One of the biggest reasons, here's why we can celebrate right now. Right now, we can celebrate. Pop it. The Celtics, every which way we look right now and what we were hoping for and what we wanted to see coming into the season, they are trending up. In every aspect, Jaylen Brown looks better. Jason Tatum looks better. They have trended back upward the way that they looked initially during that first playoff run two years ago, whatever it was. They're trending up. Marcus Smart's shooting is trending up. The culture in the locker room is trending up. Kemba Walker's game has trended up. Gordon Hayward has trended up. Every which way you turn, the arrow is pointing up. That is why this team is one of the best teams in the entire NBA right now and a bona fide contender to come out of the Eastern Conference and represent that conference in the NBA Finals.
This team's damn good.
It's damn good.
And I hope that this has kind of reinvigorated people when it comes to Brad Stevens and how good a coach he actually is.
Yes, that's a good point.
I think the only hole in Brad's game is what we saw last year, the inability to manage that massive ego, inability to manage that massive talent. And they kind of cut that off and got rid of that pain in the ass and brought in a talent that's a hair lesser than Kyrie.
A hair. I mean, he is not the talent of Kyrie Irving.
No, but he's a smarter basketball player. And that goes
a long way. Give me another sport comparison, Kyrie Irving to Kemba Walker. Give me the comparison.
Oh, man.
Would it be like here? I'll give you.
Trying to think of quarterbacks.
Can I ask you one? I'll ask you one.
Yeah.
Would it be like, and obviously they're not as good, but just in terms of the difference, okay? Would it be like going from Julio Jones to AJ Green?
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably pretty fair. Yeah.
The difference in talent, I would think Jones is a little bigger, a little stronger, a little faster. Probably a better player. He's better than Green, but Green's pretty damn good and not that far away. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty fair. The big difference between Kyrie and Kemba is mindset, and that's more important in this situation.
I was just talking about physical talent.
No, I know. When the talent is that close, That mindset's what puts Kemba over the top in this sense, at least for the Boston Celtics, because he's a much better teammate.
Yeah.
You got rid of selfishness from the team. And that's not just Kyrie. That's Terry Rozier. That's Marcus Morris. You had selfish players.
Correct. Rozier was a problem last year. I don't think it was discussed nearly enough.
And I wish they had done what I told them to do then. Sell high, trade. But, yep. You know, you end up getting Kemba Walker out of the deal, so it's not that big of a deal. I like Kemba on this team much more than I like Kyrie on this team. Because it's not just that one individual, his level of selfishness. It's how the teammates are actually reacting to him and playing with them. He plays with his teammates. He doesn't have his teammates play for him like Kyrie was doing. They were playing for Kyrie, whereas Kemba, no, I'm one of you. I'm playing with you. We're going to do this together. He's not selfish. He's not selfish like Kyrie was. He didn't have this singular mindset of, I got to beat the other team because I'm the best player here. I got to do it all myself. Whereas Kemba's like, no, my job's easier when these guys are good. And that's huge. That's going to make this team much better. Selfishness breaks up basketball teams.
It's the amount of refreshing. I mean, it's just so refreshing to watch them with Kemba Walker. And this is what we thought would happen. We hoped would happen. And it's happening. Everybody has so much more joy this year. I think right down to Brad Stevens. Everybody has the joy they didn't have last year because not only did Kyrie, not only was he miserable, but he made everybody else miserable. So then when Marcus Smart is interacting with Jaylen Brown, Kyrie's not even there, it's not as pleasant of an interaction because Brown's miserable, because Rozier's miserable. I mean, everybody was just miserable.
And I think it was important that they spent time building chemistry on Team USA. I think that really did actually help this team.
Well, especially because it was Walker's first year.
Yeah.
And that was a great way to sort of introduce everybody to each other and really bond.
Well, he's just not one of those guys like Kyrie is. Kyrie's always trying to kind of show you that he's better than you. And I think that wears on people, whether he's better at basketball, smarter than you, whatever. That's just his type of personality. And I think that wore on a lot of people last year. I think it caused a lot of dissension amongst the guys. And here's the other thing that's incredibly important for this team. Kyrie didn't trust his teammates. Kemba Walker trusts his teammates. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
That's a big, big difference. Kyrie wanted it all himself. And then when he tried to have moments where he'd take it over in the playoffs against a better team, he would look terrible. And it would be to the detriment of the entire team. What he did, how he played in those final four games against the Milwaukee Bucks was an utter embarrassment. An embarrassment.
There's no other way to say it. Look, even if they lost to the Bucks, we've talked about this before. We used to talk about this when the Warriors were the Warriors. There was, especially in basketball, before you can turn into a team that can win a playoff series, win the NBA Finals, you have to turn into a team that can compete in the playoff series, in the NBA Finals, because that's the sort of the stages in basketball. First, can you get there? Then can you compete? Then can you win? The Celtics last year, maybe they weren't championship material where they could win, but they should have been able to compete with the Bucks. They didn't even compete.
No.
So they were one level down where they should have been. Yeah, that's the big thing.
I think a part of that was one player was trying to showcase himself a little bit, and on top of that, he just wanted it to be done. I think Kyrie just wanted it to be done. Wanted that season to be done. Wanted to be out of Boston quickly as he could.
But it just made no sense how you won the first game. Why would you right then and there decide I'm done?
I don't know.
Won the first game.
I don't know. Blew him out in the first game.
Blew him out.
Looked amazing. Looked like you were going to sweep the team. But you watch his decision-making over the course of the next couple of games. It's very questionable. Very bizarre.
The second they hit one iota of adversity, he was out.
That was the entire season for them. There was games where they would just give up late in the third when it was a tight game. Maybe they're down by like six, and it's a game that you can easily come back into. They would give up a lot last year. And I think that more had to do with just the exhaustion of, I just want this whole experience to be over. And not just Kyrie, but everyone wanted that whole experience that year to just be done. They were miserable. They did not like each other.
So for what it's worth, The Browns. Yeah.
Nets.
The Nets this year through 11 games with Kyrie Irving are 4-7.
Yep.
The Browns last year.
Nets.
The Nets last year through 11 games were 5-6. Doesn't mean anything. But
no.
I mean, you got to Kyrie Irving. You can't be a little bit better? You're supposed to be a little bit better.
I hope they don't even make the playoffs.
They're 4-7 right now.
I hope they don't even make the playoffs.
Real quick, before we go to break, is there anybody in the NBA? What surprised you around the league? I'll tell you what surprises me. There's a few records that surprised me. 4-7 Nets, I guess that's one. 7-5 Philly right now. Does that surprise you? And one of those wins, by the way, was a 1-point win over the Cavs at home. 1 point.
It surprises me a little bit, but it's a terribly constructed basketball team. It's a terrible.
Well, that's supposed to be the favorite to come out of the East.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't really get it because the way they've been built, you have a bunch of guys that can score at the rim, but you have no one that can shoot.
Yeah.
And that's not today's NBA.
7-5. I mean, I'll tell you this. Look, not that home court advantage is everything, but if you get that, I mean, they're, what, 4 games back of the Celtics right now for the best record in the – you get to 8, 9 – I mean, you're not making that up.
No.
So that – I mean, you can kiss home court goodbye.
That has a potential to be a 100% complete disaster over the next couple of years because you've they're going for it, but they're going for it in the wrong way. And they're spending a ton of money on guys that are not worth that money and are not going to help your basketball team win a championship. You're spending way too much money for Al Horford. He's not worth that. You're spending way too much money on Tobias Harris. He's not worth that. And it's prohibited you putting a really good, interesting basketball team around them.
7-5 is unimpressive. That's unimpressive. The Heat are 8-3. The Bucks are 8-3. The Raptors are 8-3. That's about where I thought they'd be.
It's a slightly surprising to me.
Not the Heat, but
how well the Raptors have played.
Sure.
You know, I presume they were going to be a playoff team going into the season. I was looking at them being like a 5, 6, 7 seed, something like that. But they've been playing really well. They've been shooting really well. You know, the Bucks, where they're at, doesn't surprise me at all because you lost an important player. And again, you have an odd roster construction there. The Heat, I thought, were going to be decent. I didn't think they were going to be this good.
Yeah,
at least out the gates. And the Heat are going to be an interesting team because they have a lot of movable contracts and they can add pieces. You know, so if there's a couple of players out there, they can add. Whereas a lot of other teams are in a very difficult position to add players, especially in the Eastern Conference. The Heat, if they continue along this road and they're second, third, maybe even fourth in the Eastern Conference, they can add a major piece, and then they got a pretty damn good team on their hands.
And in the West, the Clippers being 7-5, is surprising to me.
I don't think it should be that surprising. You know, with the amount of times game, you know, Kawhi with load management, Paul George starting off the season hurt. I don't think it should surprise you too much. I think once it starts to get going, you're going to see them win, you know, 18 out of 20 games at one point here, okay, and then all of a sudden shoot up to 2 in the West.
I agree. Load management, by the way. Well, I have some thoughts on load management. We might get to that. We got to get back to the Patriots. I want to talk about the Houston Astros stealing signals. We have a lot to get to in the last half hour here. This is the Mark and Cajun Show, 103.7 WEEI.
To Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, we got a lot to get to here in the last 25 minutes of the show. Number one,
yes,
load management. I'm starting to hate load management. And I think, honestly, when I look at it, if I'm a kid, yeah, you got to manage them.
You have to manage your loads.
Yeah. But in terms of the basketball players,
yes.
If I'm a kid, I just think this makes you, to me, this makes a guy like Kawhi Leonard look soft. He's soft. It makes him look soft to me. And it would take away from my likability towards him. We didn't know he's needed a day off, a break. That's softness. It's softy. Soft serve. I don't like it. I think it's a bad look for him, for on his toughness, for the team, the culture it creates. None of the above. I don't like him. I don't like that. I don't like load management. I'm not for it. So that's just the thing I wanted to say about load management.
Well, it's the reality of the NBA.
It looks soft.
I don't disagree with that, but it's the reality of the NBA where they're focused, especially when you have a team that you believe can contend, they're focused on making sure that those guys are healthy at the end of the year. And don't forget, you know, and I know you didn't do this, but a lot of people have. When you look at the playoff structure now versus the playoff structure that used to be, you play a hell of a lot more games in the NBA playoffs now than you used to. I guess. There was a time when the first round was only best of three. And then there was a time when the first round was best of five.
Look.
So you used to play less games in the playoffs and more in the regular season, but there's that shift there. But overall, I'm kind of with you. I don't love load management all that much for these NBA players because I don't think it helps build a successful team night in and night out and helps build that chemistry.
The NBA playoffs are 2 months long.
I know. It's ridiculous.
There are plenty of days off in between playoff games where you can rest up. Ice up.
Yeah, there's also a lot of travel, too, though.
There's travel, but what? You've been the one that said, what did we say about the Red Sox when they had a trip?
Don't complain, especially about opening the season on the road. Yeah.
They have the flights and these high class.
Yeah. Whatever. You're right.
So, I don't want to hear about that. So, I just think you look like a softie, and I don't think it bodes well for the culture, for the player, for the legacy, any of those things. Load management is bad. I don't like load management. Play the games. Okay, another thing. The Astros reportedly videotaping signals. Now, I'm all for stealing signals organically in baseball. We used to do it. We always did it. We tried to do it. Everybody.
If you're going to put them out there, I'm going to look.
Correct. Videotaping signals, though, in baseball, not what you're trying to do. That is not what you do.
Lame.
And I think that, yes, if people say it taints their World Series, yes, probably does.
It should.
Yeah.
It should, especially when you look at the splits and realize they're so much better at home than they are on the road because they have a distinct advantage because they're watching you.
Well, especially when I got the explanation. When I got the explanation as to how they were doing it, that they were sitting in the dugout, I think, watching a monitor in real time and then banging on the trash can.
Yep.
That's doable.
Fastball. Change up.
Doable.
Very doable.
I mean, you could do that and you would, as a hitter, be easy to just. There it is. Here comes a fastball. Yep. I mean, you can do it.
I know an off-speed pitch is coming. I'm just not going to swing here.
Yeah.
I already know. I get to take away that slight second of hesitation because I'm unsure about what the pitch is going to be. Now I can just sit and wait for I know the fastball is coming. Boom, I know I'm going to just jump all over it.
That's a legitimate advantage.
You know in major who can't turn on a fastball?
No, anybody can hit a fastball. If you're a pro hitter, you can hit a fastball.
And look what their offense has been doing over the last couple of years, particularly at home. So I think it does taint it a little bit. And I'd be interested to see how this investigation shakes out as it relates to Alex Cora. I mean, he was there for a long time.
Well, I don't think it'll hurt the Red Sox.
No, I don't, but it would just
He wasn't the manager either, which is significant, I think.
Does help, but this is Boston. We've been dealing with issues with pertains to quote-unquote cheating, so it's not going to be another good look for the Boston sports scene.
Oh, I don't care about that. It wasn't a Boston team. What, because they hired the cheater?
Still your manager. Yeah, raises questions about what you're doing.
I don't care. I don't think that... Okay.
That's my... You know, not just that he was attached to it, but then it makes you look at him and be like, so what are you guys doing over there? You knew how this system worked. You knew the system was in existence. Are you doing something here? Now we have to look at you.
Well, okay, but the Fenway Park's, you know, the structure of Fenway Park is different. I don't even know if they could get the camera where they had it in Houston, even though most stadiums do have the center field camera, so they could facilitate something. You don't know what the splits look like for the Red Sox. I don't think this would fall on the Red Sox at all. I don't really care. But then again, they did win the World Series the next year.
But I just think this is another just... bad look for baseball. Another bad look for baseball. That a team that was just in the World Series is caught cheating. They won a World Series a couple of years ago. They've been a dominant team over the last couple of years. Caught cheating in a sport that can't deal with too many more things going wrong for it right now.
No, they would be, you would have to say, no, that's not right.
What?
I mean, the Red Sox would be the team of the decade, I would say, over the Astros, wouldn't you?
2000s?
Of the 2010s, I mean, they won two world championships.
Giants won three.
Giants won three. That's right. I forgot about the Giants.
Did they win three? Was one of them
2010 was the first one.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd go with the Giants.
Yeah.
Even though they kind of yo-yoed in and out.
No, you're right.
But so did the Red
Sox.
So I would go with the Giants.
You're right.
The team of the decade.
You're right. I forgot about them because the last one was 5 years ago.
Because you always forget about the Giants. Everyone always forgets about the Giants because they did like the Spurs run.
Correct.
Hey, every odd year we're going to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I would go with Giants, but in a game that's been decimated by cheating scandals for the last 15, 20 years, you know, this is another bad look for that sport, and a sport that is hurting for viewers and people that will actually go to the games. It's a bad look for baseball. They need to get their crap under control. Badly.
Well, yeah, especially that it was the best team of the last few years. You know, they've been in the World Series 3 years in a row, or not two out of the last 3 years. They were in the ALCS 3 years in a row, won a World Series. Some of the biggest, brightest stars in the game on that team.
Certainly taints how I look at some of their offensive players. Certainly taints how I look at Jose Altuve. Sorry. I got to look at all of you and be like, dude, how much easier is your job when you're at home and you know a fastball's coming as opposed to, you know, a curveball? Your job's a lot easier at that point. So when I look at him and be like, man, he's been an offensive stud for a long time, I'm like, oh, well, he's had a distinct advantage by having this go on while he's been there. And I look at some of the other players and go, is Bregman really that good? Is Correa really that good? Are these guys, you know, is George Springer really that good? Or they just have this ridiculous advantage because they're stealing signs with technology's help. Instead of, hey, runner's on second, now he can see in and he's going to tell you something, which I think is fine. That's a part of the game. If you're going to put it out there and my eyes can see it and I'm on the field, great. Off the field, that's a different story. But this is a really bad look, I think, for baseball overall and a sport that desperately, desperately needs some good PR because they haven't had any in a very long time. Very long time.
The other thing I wanted to just touch on quick was the Boston Bruins, and this is something that we've discussed, but this was something we all knew would be an issue after you lose Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final the year before.
Yep.
Now, they won last night up in Toronto. Good job. They needed that one. I think they've lost four in a row. But this is what I'm talking about. After the game where they lost, I think it was to the Panthers, they blew the 4-0 lead they had in the third period. They lost that game. What did Tukaras say after the game? He brought up Game 7 of the Cup Final and made some sort of joke about how he wished something, the lights went out or something happened back then. Not a big deal. But what that says to me is that that loss is always there. It's always hovering around. So you're always sort of thinking about not just losing that game, but how you were in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final last year. And as a result, because of human nature maybe, nothing else seems quite as important. And in a game in November against the Florida Panthers, when you're up 4-0 in the third period, doesn't feel that important. And it's easy for, I think, a guy, especially like Tuca, to sort of fall into a little lackadaisical state. And before you know it, you blow a game. And that is why it is going to be a very long season for the Boston Bruins, because no matter what you do, you can't get back to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final in early December or in late November. You have to play it out and try to get back there. Now, I know they started great, but it's just, it's a long year, and these things are going to come up, and it's going to be frustrating, and they're going to have to find a way through it. Again, they've done a good job to this point, but it's just an example of how it's a long year and how it's going to be a challenge to get back there, because there are ways. I mean, if that kind of game happens in the playoffs where you blow a big lead like that, that can change a series. This has to be a mentally tough team if they're going to get back there. Mentally tough.
Absolutely. We'll see. It'll be interesting today. You're taking on the Capitals, best team in the East. So, you know, was that just a little bit of a dip because you had such a hot start and they went 6 in a row before they had that 4-game skid? You know, was that just a blip on the radar? Are you really legit? I think this is a really good matchup today. Too bad it's a home and away back-to-back for the Bruins, but you know, I think this is a really big and interesting test, and I think we'll see a lot of what this team is made of today when they take on the Capitals.
Big win. This should be a big game, a big win for them if they can get it, especially coming off of the nice win in Toronto. So we'll see. All right, let's go to break. When we get back, the producer's question, we'll also go back to the Patriots and the Eagles game. That's tomorrow. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, so the Patriots and Eagles going at it tomorrow, 4:25 in Philadelphia. I expect the Patriots to win the game. I'm not going to bet against them if the house is on the line. I pick the Patriots. They're coming off the bye. They're coming off the bad loss. You know the defense is going to be angry. I still believe in this defense. I still love this defense. I think they will respond. And as I said to start the show, I am more concerned with the defensive performance tomorrow than the offensive performance. Would I love for them to win 38-10, 42-10? Yes. But I want to see the defense look like the defense we have come to know through the first 8 weeks of the season. And I want that Baltimore effort to be proven that it was a blip on the radar, that it was the outlier. I don't want to see a trend in the wrong direction. I want that defense to come out, lights out, and then we'll see what the offense can do. But I want them to win with defense. I want the defense to get off the bus first. I want this defense, I want this to still be a defensive team with a defensive identity.
I think you're going to see that. I think the Eagles are in a bad position right now with all the injuries they've had, and Jeffrey not playing and Howard maybe not playing. Peters, who knows if he's playing. I don't know if he's playing or not. But you have a bad situation, especially on the offensive side of the ball for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I expect the Patriots defense to have a very good game.
I mean, this is a team that is desperate for wins with the division they're in, with Dallas doing what they're doing. I mean, there's going to be one team from the NFC East that makes the playoffs. You've got to win the division. You're not going to be a wild card, and the Eagles know that.
Yeah, I mean, they're what, 5-4? Cowboys are also 5-4.
There's no way a team from the NFC East is going to make the playoffs if they don't win the division.
Especially when you have two teams from the NFC North who are better than those two teams, and you have two teams from the NFC West that are better than those two teams.
Right.
Those two teams in the NFC both have 8 wins already, 8-1 and 8-2, I believe.
Yep.
Whoever comes in second in that division is not making the playoffs. And we all thought the Cowboys should be that team. I still think the Cowboys should be that team that makes the playoffs from the NFC East because they have a tremendous amount of talent. Tremendous amount of talent. The only thing holding them back is a dumb head coach and a dumb owner. That's it.
And they also got back Jay Ajayi, too.
They did end up signing Jay Ajayi?
They did.
Because they put Sproles on the IR. Yeah. His season's over with like a torn hip flexor or something like that. I expect the Patriots to win this game. I don't expect it to be much of an issue for them. 27-16, maybe. 27-13, something like that. 27-13, that's what I'll go with in this game. 27-13.
Would that impress you? Is that an impressive win? I still can't believe the Eagles somehow beat the Packers at Green Bay.
Packers, I don't know what to make of them. I don't think the Packers are a true contender.
They bounced back. They bounced back after losing in San Diego, L.A., whatever.
They did, bounced back. I don't think they're a true contender.
We need to see them play the Vikings again. I want to see them play the 49ers. I want to see them play... Do they play the Ravens? No, they don't play the Ravens. But I want to see them play some of the better teams. Another game of interest tomorrow. I think it's... Is it the Ravens hosting the Texans? Ravens and Texans, I think it's in Baltimore. Is it in Baltimore?
I don't know if it's in Baltimore or not. Let me double check that.
Check that one, because that's a very interesting game. I'll have to root for the Texans in that game.
It is in Baltimore.
You want to see the Texans win that game. And that's a matchup of quarterbacks, two of the brightest quarterbacks in the game, young quarterbacks with Watson and Lamar Jackson. I like Watson better overall, but Jackson is the MVP right now, probably. Probably.
Watson's a better quarterback.
Yeah.
Watson's a better quarterback. There's more to his game than there is to Lamar's game. Lamar's good. Don't get me wrong. He's good. I just get a little worried about how long he's going to last in the NFL the way he plays.
I hate that that's not the Sunday night game.
What Sunday is the Sunday night,
night
game
I don't think is good. It's not as good as that Ravens game.
Bears-Rams.
Oh, yeah. Crying out loud. That's terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be able to watch much of that game, I don't think.
Yeah, Monday night, at least you get the Chiefs to watch.
Yeah.
Although it's in L.A. at the Chargers.
No, it's in, I think it's in Mexico.
Oh, you're right. Mexico City?
Yeah. So that's actually more interesting to me.
They're going to bring out...
Take the over.
Bilingual sideline reporters again?
Oh.
Do you remember how awful that was the first go-around?
Yeah. Good for him. Hey, he worked hard. He really earned it, that guy, that kid.
Whatever. Good. It was just you put him in a bad position.
Yeah.
You put him in a really bad position.
All right, let's get to Devin's producer question.
It is time for the producer's question. So here is Devin Telgani. He has a question. It won't be about sports. Here it is for Mark and Ben.
All right, fellas, I have a two-part question this week.
A two-parter.
Yes, and it's a question that Ben's been waiting for ever since we started this producer's question.
John Dennis special.
All right.
Question.
Yep.
So, question number one. Do you guys agree that there could be aliens out there in the world?
in the world?
Didn't we already answer this question?
No, I didn't ask this question.
Okay. Maybe it was ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, ghosts don't exist. In the world or in the universe?
Universe.
Yes. 100%.
Yes, there's something out there.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Whether it is life that can fly planes and visit us.
I don't know.
I don't know about that, but there's, I will some guarantee you there's some kind of living form somewhere else. So, yes.
Okay. Second question is, do you guys believe in about 10 years we could be riding in UFOs?
No.
No, because we will know what they are. A UFO is an unidentified flying object. If we're riding in them, they've inherently been identified. So the answer is obviously no.
Okay.
Do you mean in 10 years riding in some kind of
flying contraption?
Well, we already do that.
No, but I mean like you'll have one in your driveway that you can take around.
Yeah. You're talking about like the Jetsons?
Jetsons kind of.
No.
It's not the Jetsons. They can't get up and fly.
No, because that was the that was
Adelius, I miss you. No. 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 It's not going to happen.
No, cuz the Jetsons were from what, the 60s? Does the world look anything like that now? And that was 40, how many years ago? 60 years ago.
Here's the reality of it. How are we going? Are you talking about like on the planet we're going to have flying cars or, you know, spaceships are more capable or something?
Spaceships are more capable.
Yeah, okay, maybe. But
no, no, no. I think he's thinking you're going to have something in your driveway that when you have to go to the store, you'll get in it and you'll fly to Walmart.
Oh, no, absolutely not. 100% not. We have such a problem driving on actual defined roads right now, crashing into each other, killing each other all the time. You'd think that's going to get better when all of a sudden we can go kind of go anywhere at any time with poor visibility? No. If that were to happen, you would see death at an unprecedented level. Because even if you get into a car accident right now, just a regular fender bender right now, you're likely fine. You get into a fender bender in the sky... Not only are you going to effing die, but the people, you're going to land on people and you're going to kill those people. So it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, but here's the way, here's the fail safe for that. You just have a little button that you hit it. If you get into an accident, you hit the button and a little parachute pops up and you can just parachute down and it's harmless.
It's still not going to be harmless.
Well, if you parachute down,
I mean, how many times?
If you don't have a parachute, then that's a problem.
Listen.
Well, no, every car would be equipped. It'd be like an airbag. Every car would be equipped with one.
Parachutes sometimes fail when just an individual person is in them and they fall all the way to the earth.
No, I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It would be chaos. How are you going to create?
Imagine looking up and saying, I mean, there's no rules, there's no structure to the travel.
How can you create dedicated travel lanes? You just can't do it.
Not in the air.
And if you don't have dedicated travel lanes, it's pure chaos, absolute chaos. So it's not.
You don't think
happen.
Somebody could take sort of the model of a drone and make it just a little bit bigger so a human could be in there?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we have those. They're called planes.
No, but I'm talking about something you could just fly. You're obsessed with it. I'm talking about it being your driveway. Something that's in your driveway that you can just you start it and it just lifts up. There's no runway necessary.
Like a helicopter?
They're actually making flying cars in China now.
But something without a big propeller.
Please. No, they're not. Eventually you could have something that could do that. But again, I come back to the point where...
How do you control it?
It's not... A, it's not necessary. And B, that opens up a whole can of worms that is just, again, death upon death. People dying left and right if you try and do that, especially on mass scale. Can't happen. Just can't happen. You can't... Again, you can't have dedicated travel lanes.
I mean,
dedicated travel lanes, then they're just going to be careening into each other.
How do you, at night, you could have a freaking apartment building and somebody doesn't see it and they drive the ship, whatever it is, into the building.
Yeah. It would happen all the time.
You can't do it.
It would happen. People drive into buildings now.
Yeah.
And it should be impossible for them to drive into a goddamn building. But they do it now. You think they're not going to do it when they have flying cars? This is not. No, no. It will never happen.
It'd be cool to have one, though.
It would be awesome.
Imagine your commute here with one of those things instead of driving.
Oh, I'd be here in 20 minutes instead of the hour in 20 minutes, even though it should take me about an hour 45.
I would die for that.
No, you would die with
you
that.
You want one of those?
I would die for that, of course. I would love one of those.
Yeah.
Have one of my own robot assistants.
Well, those are two different things. You're bringing up like Rocky IV now. Robot assistants. Remember Rocky IV? That weird little robot assistant they had that would pop into the room when they were the rest of them were all in Russia.
I remember Screech from Saved by the Bell had a robot assistant.
By the way, what a complete creep that guy turned into.
Of course.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he wrote a tell-all book exposing everybody's sexual exploit. Yeah, the porn, the sex tape.
It just came off. He was bitter because he was so much younger than the rest of them. They're all banging each other, and he's like, what about me? Well, you're 14 and the rest of them are 18. What the hell did you think was going to happen?
I mean, have a feel, please.
Yeah, what a tool.
You know the worst part about that? I thought he was for years related to Mike Diamond of the Beastie Boys, but he isn't. Did we figure that out on this show?
I think so.
I don't know why I thought he was like his brother.
Because they had the same last name?
No, there was something else. I thought I read it somewhere. It wasn't just the last name.
Hmm.
But he wasn't. I don't think he is.
Probably not. It was a tool. He is a complete tool. Ugh.
Okay. Patriots-Eagles 425 tomorrow. We'll talk about that game next week. Can they get back in the win column? This is the Martin Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.